The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on April 29, 1982, in Denver, Colorado. The class begins with a reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 17.
And by chanting and chanting, he became completely purified. Even if one chants a mantra by accident or by some other, you see, not intentionally, even then it's called a gata sukriti. One gets unconsciously so much benefit. So that was in the Treta Yuga, in the Silver Age. Prahlad in the Golden Age, he was chanting Hare Krishna constantly, continuously. He was completely indestructible by his father. The father tried to kill his own five-year-old child, he couldn't do it. Dhruva Maharaj was searching for Krishna. He couldn't find him until he was given the mantra. When he was read the mantra of Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, he chanted, then he could finally achieve Krishna. One has to receive the mantra or name of Krishna from a bona fide spiritual master. And this has been happening since time immemorial. Ajamiya, one time he chanted Narayana, and he was saved from death. He was saved from being taken by the Yamadutas into the lower planetary system for punishment, just by one time chanting the name of God. Powerful mantra, powerful vibration, purifies. So, it's not that this chanting is new, but sometimes we chant and we commit offenses and we don't get an effect. So many people are chanting Ram Nam or Krishna Nam, but because they're committing offenses, they're not able to actually make progress. Offenses mean that there are various categories, but there's basically 10 offenses to the holy name. If we commit these 10 offenses and chant, that limits the effect we get. It delays the effect and limits it, because our chanting is not pure. So by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, even an unqualified person, by chanting his name, he is forgiven for offenses, therefore that chanting has a full effect. Therefore before we chant Hare Krishna, you hear us chanting the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Everyone can repeat it one time. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda. We chant that. In fact, Ramananda Maharaj told me that in Africa, Prabhupada told them you should just chant that. When you go into the Congo, when you go into the, you know, just mainly Lord Chaitanya's name. Because he has unlimited capacity to forgive. Then we chant Chaitanya's name, then on his order we chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. This is a great process of meditation, of yoga that's been handed for millions of years, but it's a very specialized and a very secret and esoteric process in the past that would not be generally understood by everyone or practiced by, although it was open to everyone. But Lord Chaitanya, so to speak, just opened up the storehouse, open the treasure house, and he's just saying, everyone can take it. That was his specific mercy, so we can take advantage. And the proof is you can see how devotees around the world, they're united, they're one, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, they're getting transcendental benefit by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? These books are also sacred expressions. This is a type of Sankirtan. Prabhupada had requested that we should distribute the books. Srila Rameshwar Swami has dedicated his life in organizing book distribution. This is a great service, greatest. Brihat Madranga. This is all the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to broadcast the glories of Krishna, the chanting of the holy name, the spiritual knowledge. So, of course, these are preliminary pastimes, especially the devotees can appreciate. Generally, we discuss after Lord Chaitanya started his preaching, the public can understand better. But sometimes it's nice to see how Lord Chaitanya was, in the first 14 years, how he was acting. Then at the 14th year, actually, he fully got into his single-pointed Sankirtan. Before there was Sankirtan, there was Krishna Bhakti, but it was not so obvious to everyone. Now, we can take advantage of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, chant Hare Krishna, perfect our lives, and help others. We should try with our life to do as much good as we can to others. There's no greater good that can be done than if you can give one the spiritual knowledge. Because that means, just like you may be a Kolavecha, you may be the king, that if you are actually Krishna conscious, that means that you don't have any more dependence on the material happiness and distress. You're always happy. Even the person that's got the big king with all the diamonds and all the gold and everything is always hankering that this was not enough, that's not good enough, I need more, I need this, I need this. There's always so many unfulfilled desires. And when one simply desires Krishna, that's considered to be the greatest sadhu. That's liberation. Then one Krishna may give that person, like Yudhishthira was the king of the world. Doesn't mean every Krishna bhakta has to be poor. Yudhishthira and Arjuna were emperors of the world. Parikshit was emperor of the world. Unlimited wealth. They could do so many aswamedh yajnas, rajasuya sacrifices, which take just literally thousands of tons of gold to perform those sacrifices. And also he had Sudama. Vipra was a poor brahmana. Later he gave him huge palaces with jewels and servants. The devotee, in any condition, is actually satisfied. When he reaches that state, the Krishna doesn't mind giving him so much more. But if a devotee is not mature, you give prematurely too much material opulence, then they may think, oh, this material opulence is happiness. Then they forget Krishna, then they're in Maya, then they're caught up again in the samsara and laws of karma. When one is acting for Krishna, under Krishna's shelter, one is above the law of karma. There's no reaction for those activities. When one is acting, either a poor man or a rich man, for him all his, without connection to Krishna, then he's wound up in the laws of karma, then his happiness is mixed with misery. And his misery is mixed with happiness. But the devotee has got continual happiness. Externally he may look miserable, or he may look very poor, or may look very rich. But internally his happiness is coming from Krishna. That is steady. That is unadulterated happiness. Hitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari. Are there any questions? Yeah?
Sir, can you speak to me about spiritual communism? What would you like to know? That mission.
What was Prabhupada's definition?
Everything belongs to Krishna.
Yes. Spiritual communism is everything belongs to Krishna. Isha vashnam idang sarvam jat kincha jagat jang jagat jaina chaktena vunchita magadahakasya swiddhanam. That everything is the property of Krishna. We are all, every person is allowed his quota. With that quota they should be satisfied. And if there's surplus, then they should use that for the service of Krishna to help others. So if we accept that not the state is the owner of everything, but that Krishna is the owner of everything, and that the state is only acting on behalf of Krishna and to help the people to progress spiritually. Satisfied?
Well, I still don't quite understand. I understand that everything belongs to Krishna.
Right. So if everything belongs to Krishna and we each get our quota, then that's automatically
spiritual
communism. Then you act in that consciousness. You act as spiritual parts of Krishna.
How is it possible to attain that as it is now? Not international.
Now, first of all, you have to bring about spiritual consciousness. Then automatically it happens.
How do you bring about spiritual consciousness?
By getting the people to chant Hare Krishna.
Well, people have such a great misunderstanding. They don't understand reincarnation. They don't understand that Krishna has an incarnation of the Lord. How can you bring this understanding out?
I remember that 10 years ago, no one even knew what reincarnation was. Now, if you ask people how many believe in reincarnation, you probably find that... Has there been a Gallup poll? How many believe in reincarnation? I know in Brazil, 90% believe in reincarnation. And it's a Roman Catholic country, the Pope said there isn't. And I think in America, you probably find... I know in France, 70 or 80% of people believe in reincarnation.
I don't understand Christian if there's an incarnation of God.
Because you know, it's a gradual process. We need more preachers. We need more people to explain. They'll gradually know. First of all, let them understand what the soul is, what is life, and that there's a supreme soul, and they can understand that Krishna is the same supreme soul that they know as God, or they know as whatever they know him as. Allah, Jehovah, the Father. Many people are accepting. In North Carolina, 2 weeks ago, there was a PTA, and about 50 ladies all chanted Hare, more than 150 elderly ladies all chanted Hare Krishna. It's just that we have to go out and more or less like meet the public in different forms and gradually explain Krishna in ways that they can understand, ways they can relate to, and then gradually people will come to know.
How? In different forms?
Well, according to the audience, you have to present it.
Like a salesman talks to a construction worker, like a construction worker.
Right. Well, you have to use at least the vocabulary and the concepts that they're familiar with. Right? If a physicist talked to the, you know, in calculus equations, and no one knows what he's talking about except for other physicists. Or mathematicians. Similarly, in the temple, we may discuss maybe a little more technical manner, but if you go out and meet certain people, you have to know how to. Just like sometimes Prabhupada meet people on the street and he would say, God bless you.
But the way the show's being run now, people are trying to take money, you know, at the airports. It's a con game.
They're giving out books.
Yeah, I was first introduced to Krishna consciousness about 6 years ago at the airport in Atlanta, Georgia. I gave the man some change, and then I was walking to catch my flight with some hard covers. I gave him some coins. You know, it was not what the book was worth. I gave him what I had, you know, sincerely. You know. Next thing I know, he swatched it out of my hand, you know, and he's gone, the book's gone. If I would have more time, I would have tried to run him down or, you know, made a police report. But, you know, he cheated me. He speaks in the Gita about cheaters and the cheated. You know, I believe in both. I play both roles and interchange roles. You know, I had a negative attitude about Krishna consciousness, you know,
for the past 6 years. Well, I think in the beginning some people were overzealous. This may happen, but the point is that I don't think that it happens anymore. As far as I know, the distributors have become much more mature. And that these type of things have been brought to the attention of the leaders of the society, and they have made various resolutions and standards that nothing illegal or no type of this type of activity, what they consider to be, how did GBC version call it, indiscreet sankirtan tactics or something. These are not allowed. This is not the move of Lord Chaitanya that to make people... A lot of those people aren't around anymore. I mean, just, you know, in the beginning, some people just became a little bit carried away. And definitely we've suffered for that. But you can at least have the satisfaction knowing that... At least I assume that the person turned the money into the temple, and at least someone else got a book. The paper right now, the money I gave to. Now most of the places we give out free books. You'd be surprised how many free books we give out. So 6 years ago was a little bit different than now. Now many people get free books. And I'm sure that the temple would be glad to give you a medium-sized book for the money that you...
Free read the universities then. At the time, it was very suggestible. You'd have to meet a journalist. I'm sure it happened.
Would you give them back to Godhead?
We'll give them a whole case.
If you'll read them, we'll be happy to give you as many books as you can read.
Another thing too, in that particular point, is that I think that sometimes because of the media and certain personalities that just dislike that movement in general, made that broadcast a little bit more than it actually really occurred. For instance, you might have had that experience yourself, but basically, we made investigations and we found that a lot of times that was a little bit, over-exemplified about our society just in general.
Any other questions? Yes? Well, if you had Krishna consciousness there, very nice question. As I mentioned before, that sometimes Krishna wants to, actually the devotee himself is so busy serving Krishna that they don't have any time to waste in unnecessary pursuits to become rich. That they're already so satisfied in Krishna's service that they're happy with even just a minimal amount. So rather than become distracted, they just use all their energy in serving Krishna. And this way, one is actually the devotee's richest of all, because by this type of devotional service, one is able to conquer Krishna. Krishna is possessing all wealth. Just like Srila Prabhupada said that I have so many millions and millions and millions of dollars of temples, but I can never stay in any temple more than 1 week or a few days or 2 weeks. So Prabhupada is always traveling. As far as his personal belongings, he just has his clothing and his books. But technically, the whole movement was all under his inspiration and all his to engage in Krishna's service, and he saw accordingly. But personally, one would consider that, well, simultaneously he was living in a very simple way, not having any, just a personal, everything he had he invested in Krishna's temples and Krishna's books and Krishna's work, and put up anything for any other separate purpose. So like that, the devotee himself prefers to live in a very simple way, doesn't need to have all type of opulent things. Which the materialists, they always want to get more and more opulent things. And as a result, they become always dissatisfied. So if some opulence is needed for Krishna's service, then one can accept it. In such cases, Krishna gives opulence. But in general, the devotees, they're so busy, they're already so satisfied in Krishna's service that they don't bother to accumulate. If they get money, then immediately they spend it on Krishna. How much does one need? You have clothing, and you have a house, and you have enough to eat. What does it matter if you have a Rolls Royce limousine or if you have a Dodge Dart or something?
Desire. Desire for Rolls Royce, as opposed to.
Yeah, but if you're as a devotee, you desire to get around. If you have service, you get around. You don't have these desires for Rolls Royce or that, unless it's useful for preaching. Is that satisfying? You have your hand up?
What would you say is the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness?
The ultimate goal. Ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness is to be completely Krishna conscious. To do the service as described by Rupa Goswami, Anya Bilashita Sunyam, Jnana Karma Anabhritam, Anukulena Krishna Nusilanam, Bhakti Uttama. You
understand that?
So, that is Anya Bilashita Sunyam, to have no other desire. To have no other desire, Karma Jnana Anabhritam. That includes not having any desire for any fruitive result. That I'm working hard, I should get the result for what I'm doing. or jnana, to have some independent knowledge which is unrelated to our development of Krishna consciousness. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karma anavritam anukulena krishna anusilanam. And to always be engaged in Krishna's service in a favorable way, free from those desires, that is considered to be topmost Krishna consciousness or topmost bhakti yoga. So our goal is to achieve that type of transcendental service where we are intimately serving Krishna's devotees, satisfying Krishna directly. And that service is uninterrupted and unmotivated with all these material desires and motives. That's considered to be the perfectional platform of bhakti. And then when one is serving in that way, then he gets a full Krishna realization, self-realization. I can understand his eternal relationship with God.
Well, each day I remember Krishna, and each day I forget about Krishna. And I wonder, you know, what does Krishna want from me? What does Krishna want from me?
That you don't forget him. He appreciates you remembering him, but now he wants you not to forget him. When we forget Krishna, then immediately our desires begin, and immediately our suffering begins, and immediately our entanglement begins. And as we remember Krishna, then our freedom begins, then our then our protection is there. So that therefore Lord Chaitanya said, Kirtaniya Sadahari, one should always remember and chant Krishna. In this way one is transcendental to this material misery. So that takes practice, because obviously in the beginning everyone's going to forget Krishna. Therefore we associate with devotees, because with an association of devotees they help us to remember Krishna. We eat Krishna prasadam, we chant Krishna, we do services which we can see are related to Krishna because they've been authorized by a spiritual master. Some people work in the temple, some people have outside jobs. If they work outside, they're supposed to give the fruits of their work to Krishna, and they shouldn't be work which is inimical to Krishna, you know, like being a butcher or something. In this way, what Krishna says in the Gita, a vast yoga, one should practice. By practice, then you'll be able to reach the perfection state. If you can immediately fix your mind on Krishna, then you can be perfect in no time. But if you can always just fix your mind on Krishna without forgetting, then you have to practice. And that practice is, this is called sadhana bhakti, or the practice of devotional service. Other questions?
About the question about why Brahmins aren't too materially possessed with money. I once heard a story about this one Brahmin was going around listing personalities. He went to Lord Vishnu, and Lakshmi was massaging his feet, Lord Vishnu's feet, and the Brahmin put his foot upon Lord Vishnu's chest. And Lakshmi Devi wasn't too pleased about that, and ever since then she hasn't been, you know, too kindly to Brahmin, so to speak. I was wondering if that could be another reason.
Of course, devotees are Vaishnavas, so they're beyond Brahmanism. Devotees are Vaishnavas. Bhrigu Muni was just a Brahmana, but he wasn't a Vaishnava. Otherwise, I'd kick Krishna in the chest. Krishna. So, Krishna consciousness is above the Brahmanism. So you find some Krishna devotees, they may also have the guru of Gadadhar Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was always wealthy, surrounded by opulence, silk and cloth, big vast lights and silken cushions and people fanning him and palanquins. But Gadadhar, he was a lifelong celibate brahmachari. First time he saw his spiritual master, he thought that he wasn't a spiritual master then, but I mean, the first time he thought he had a few doubts. Later on it was revealed to him, that's a whole other story, how it was revealed to him how actually that was like a show. He had those things, but actually he was completely Krishna conscious. There was time for that story. Yeah?
Well, Vedic scriptures speak, many ways, means of going about devotional service, hearing and chanting, and I don't know them all. one that I am attracted to that I don't quite understand is the significance of deity worship. Can you maybe elaborate briefly on it or tell me a little more about it from your understanding? I've read, but still I don't quite have the essence of that.
Deity worship for this age has been simplified by Narada Muni, and we follow the Narada Panchatric system of deity worship. To actually do perfect deity worship is not possible in this age. Unless one chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the names, then it's possible. There are many rules and regulations for deity worship. So that's been simplified, and it's based around more chanting and kirtan of the Lord. By worshipping the form of the Lord, actually that's an incarnation of Krishna. It's called Archa Avatar. Because we don't have the vision to see Krishna. We haven't developed our spiritual vision. So he comes before us in a form that we can handle. So that we can serve him in that way. So that's very good for our concentration. So we don't forget Krishna. We have the form of Krishna. These deities are installed by a bona fide spiritual master. This way of calling Krishna, and he actually incarnates in the deity. They're not made by imagination, they're made according to descriptions and dimensions given in the Vedas, which are representative of Krishna, but Krishna himself, he personally is there. And there are many pastimes with deities, where actually the deity sometimes talks to the worshipper, sometimes the deity walks, although generally that's only reciprocating with some very great devotee. Generally, of course, for common devotees, we see the deity standing, we think the deity is possibly made of stone or wood or this or that. That's our materialistic vision. We shouldn't see it like that. We should see that this is actually an incarnation of Krishna in a form that he has agreed to come in this form that we can handle worship, and this way he's receiving that worship directly, and he's reciprocating with it. We offer food to him, we take the remnants. It's a type of sacrifice, a type of meditation. We recommend it to chant Hare Krishna in front of the deity. You can get your own Krishna deity and offer incense and chant Hare Krishna, offer water to the deity. So if one wants to actually install it, you can also worship a picture like a deity. The deity worships a picture, the rules are much less strict. You can establish in your house, you have a picture of Krishna?
Yes, I do.
You can set up like a worship there, meditation and worship of that picture.
One offer you a pair.
Thank you.
Okay.
What is your name?
My name is Harry Madison.
Harry. It's almost like Hardy.
I'm nothing
but
Krishna.
Oh, but devotees are named after names of Krishna.
What is your name?
Jayapataka Swami.
Yeah. I had one more question. Sorry.
Well, give everyone else a chance. Pretty slow group tonight. Fully satisfied me. No other questions?
Well, you're speaking about chanting, and you know, ever since they're coming to the temple, they've always emphasized chanting.
And you have a set of beads?
Yes, I do. I picked one up on my second visit here.
You chant regularly?
No, I don't.
You regularly?
Yes. you spoke of 10 offenses while chanting, but you didn't exactly mention what they were. I guess I could look them up, but you could tell me it might be easier to sink in.
What's the first offense?
Blasphemy the voice of Dekha's last proclamation of holiness of the Lord.
Second offense? Raise your hand. Right, sorry? Speak loudly. Hear that?
No.
instead of the names of demigods like Lord Shiva, to be equal or greater than Krishna's name. Third offense?
Disobey the orders of the spiritual master.
Fourth offense?
Blasphemy in the name of literature, literature for songs in the name.
Fifth offense?
To attend Hare Krishna. Imagination.
To think that the chanting of Hare Krishna or some kind of imagination, the glories, some. Sixth? To give an imaginative interpretation. One is the fifth was to think that the glories of the holy name to be an exaggeration or an imagination. And the sixth is to give your own speculated interpretation. Seventh?
The central activity sounds like the chanting holy name.
That means like premeditative, all right. I can do this activity even though I know I can like kill this person, I'll go and I'll chant Hare Krishna and then I'll be purified from the sin. Something like that. That doesn't work, no. If you make a mistake and do something, you can chant and get purified, but you can't like do it on the basis that later I'll chant and get purified. Then it won't work. That's Krishna's, not that, you can't be cheated. You can't repent before you do something. Again, do it. You have to try. You have to try to avoid it. You know, sometimes you may not be able to. Then you might be forgiven sometimes, although not perpetually. But the premeditated, that's considered offensive. It's taking Krishna mechanically. Eighth offense.
Consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious and ritualistic activities which are offered to Vedas as fruitive activities.
Nine? Yes? What did she say?
To the faithless person.
To the faithless person, yes. Ten? Nine. Any other Gurukul? All right. Master? Yes? That was a seven. 10. Yeah. The thing is, just like the plant, if you water the plant every day with at least a minimum amount of water, then you have, that's plant A. Then exhibit B, you water the plant one day some water, then 2 days you don't give any water, then Sunday some water, then some more days you don't give water. So which plant is going to grow faster? The regular one has a minimum per day, or the one that irregularly to water? So Lord Chaitanya said that this bhakti is like a seed in the heart, and the chanting and hearing is like watering, the irrigation. So that's why we count how many times we chant, so that way we can maintain it some minimum. So this was recommended in the beginning. You may only chant 2 rounds or 4 rounds or a 6 round, but one should try to set some minimum. But at least I'll do 2 a day or 4 a day or 6 a day or 8 a day like that, and then regularly do. Some days it may seem, well, there wasn't any time, we just forgot, oh, I have to finish my rounds, my chanting of Hare Krishna. That's called vrata. Vrata means that it's like a vow, a promise, that I'm going to do this much as a minimum. That gives one great strength. Additional strength than just doing it casually. And one who's doing it on a minimum basis like that, that gives it additional potency. It's like more, and it's also very practical that we get regular watering. Even in athletics or in yoga or anything, exercise, they say if you exercise 5 days a week, then it's all right. But if you only do 2-3 days a week, it doesn't make much difference. Because there's so much time in between that. So you have to build up a spiritual strength, like building up the dam. Every day, little bits leaking out, in a sense, because of our carelessness, our inattentiveness. So by keeping a minimum, we build up our strength. Gradually, it's like filling up the glass. Once the glass is filled up with water, then there's no room for anything else. As long as we're only half full, then there's still room for other. Or worse yet, then the other rotten stuff can go in there. So Larry, why don't you try to set for yourself, you know, a minimum of this chant like that and try it and see how you advance. You can set your own initially, what you can do, what you think you can do every day. You may do more some days, no harm. But like a minimum, and then you can gradually raise your minimum. We do 16 as a minimum. Those who are initiated, it takes about hour and a half, 2 hours to do 16, ordinarily. But even if whatever one sets at, it's very important that one can do it regularly. Yes?
My Grace, you were talking a few moments ago about how so often the devotees would be so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness that they wouldn't worry about it. They would separately for the acquisition of different opulences. So sometimes we find today that the devotees are...
It's like Srila Prabhupada. When he had the... It was even in his horoscope that he could make millions of dollars. But when he had the order of Bhakti Siddhanta to print books and do so many different preachings, so then instead of just fully doing his business, he would use every spare moment to print books and to print it back to Godhead and do so many works for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So as a result, he never, you know, this went on, but, you know, he never made it very rich. Although he had every potential if he would have just thrown himself into that. But Bhakti Siddhanta, he didn't also want him that he should just give a lot of money. Sometimes devotees say that I have to go out and make millions for Krishna. Then you see, you know, you don't see any money, you don't see the devotee, and everything is lost. You know. So first of all, we should protect our Krishna consciousness. There was one very wealthy man, and he decided that he wanted to give all of his wealth to Bhakti Siddhanta, so he gave everything, to the last penny, to Bhakti Siddhanta, and that's what he built the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya temple with. Then he became a Babaji and he just sat and chanted. That's why his temple's at the gateway there. So that one Babaji, I think he was one of the only two people that Bhakti Siddhanta actually gave Babaji initiation to. He just chanted Hare Krishna, gave everything, he was a millionaire, gave everything and then chanted Hare Krishna. It was the last part of your question?
Sometimes today we see that devotees are like meditating on how to actually collect lakshmis, and there's different businesses, there's devotees of paraphernalia. So
that's for Krishna, that's not for their own sense gratification.
So in the past also they could have done some nice, you know, devotees could have acquired some lakshmi and there should be some like temple worship and new worship, but we found the devotees were satisfied just to, you know, do their little worship or whatever. So
no, but the difference is that now everybody's in complete ignorance. The whole world, for now, you can be satisfied. How can any devotee be satisfied just himself worshiping and being Krishna conscious and not trying to help the others? Lord Chaitanya said, Janma Shatta Kori Kora Purva Pukar. You perfect yourself and then to help others. That now that you can see everywhere around you, people are suffering. They're in complete ignorance of their spiritual identity. They don't know what is the purpose of life. They think that these material objects are their perfection, and they're suffering in every minute. So naturally, a devotee, when he makes some advancement, is going to be thinking how to bring these people to Krishna consciousness. And the people, they always say, that, well, what are you people doing for society? How are you self-sufficient, this, that? So by showing that we can do various activities, engage people in Krishna's service with these making bliss bars and so on and so forth. That's very big preaching for people like Americans who want to see that you can still be productive and be Krishna conscious. Now we should preach to them that they can go on doing their business, no harm, but they should chant Hare Krishna. They should become Krishna conscious. They should gradually understand their real spiritual identity and their relationship with Krishna. We are not opposed to making money. Some of these brahmanas, they'd make lots of money, but they would just spend it right away in Krishna. Rupa and Sanatana were multimillionaires, but they were continuously giving their money to the brahmanas in charity who were preaching and doing various programs. And that was only brahmanas. Now we have to engage all kinds of people, all type of Vaishnavas with different propensities. So some people have propensity for doing different things. Some of those people have propensities for doing business or for, although I don't think very many. And some people have propensity for working and for puja and for preaching. And so we engage the people accordingly. If one person doesn't feel inclined, doesn't feel the capability of being able to go out and raise huge sums of money for Krishna, that person shouldn't, neither should he feel frustrated on the one hand that there's no scope for him in Krishna consciousness, neither should he feel that the other people who are able to raise funds for Krishna and who are giving the funds and the funds are being used for preaching and for building nice temples and communities for Krishna, shouldn't think that that activity is in any way materialistic. That's all spiritual as long as the fruits are all going to Krishna and used in Krishna's service. There are other services that devotees can do, just like in the temple, there's people that cook, that do puja, that they're all supportive to the preaching. Now there's other kinds of preaching coming up, like namha preaching, like getting people to chant Hare Krishna in congregational programs, gurukul, which are not directly connected. They may not be big fundraisers. There's a scope for all different kinds of people. But no organization can run without land, capital, manpower, and organization. The capital is also needed. So in those days, the brahmanas used to go door to door and beg, and people used to give donations. Now we can't go door to door and beg, so to speak, so we give books, or we give other things in lieu of the donations or what you get. You don't just take, you give something. That's a policy. But we're not satisfied that I should be Krishna conscious and then never mind anybody else. We want that everyone should be Krishna. At least get the chance to be Krishna. It's up to them. We can't force them. It's their independent choice. We have to give them the choice. You know, as Hari said, there are so many people that don't know Krishna, don't know His incarnation, don't know anything about Him, don't know who they are. Don't know who Krishna is, who His devotees are. So, those people need to be helped.
Excuse me. I was going to say, a lot of them know who the devotees are, you know, but they don't see the correlation between, you know, God consciousness and, you know, the people at the airport. And, you know, so they're not reading the book. They may have a book, but they're not reading it. Or they get cheated at the airport, you know, and they caught an attitude. So they throw the book away.
Now we need more congregational programs to add depth to the book. If people get the book, they have questions, they don't know what to do with it or whatever. So a congregational program is when people read the book and feel interested, then you cultivate them, get them to chant, get them to advance. Then get them also, they can distribute so many books and they can explain to people the value of the books. Some of our Namhat devotees, some of our friends of Krishna in India distributed 5,000, one man distributed 5,000 books last year. you have a congregational program, congregations are very glad to take 5 or 10 books in a month and distribute to their friends. When they talk their friends into something good, then those people have a different aspect, a different interest in the book. Prabhupada said that we cannot be narrow-minded in our outlook of Krishna consciousness. We have to have a broad vision how everyone can be accommodated in Krishna consciousness. Everyone that has any desire to serve Krishna, they must be accommodated. As long as, you know, they're not envious and not destructive. I mean, a sincere desire to serve Krishna. Prabhupada told me before I went to India in 1970 when I was just going through Los Angeles for my first time. We were on a morning walk and then suddenly stopped and he said that, I think we were in front of a church, he said, maybe we were in front of the temple, he said that this Krishna consciousness in the future will be similar. The temples will be similar to Krishna churches in that there will be so many people who don't live in the temple, hundreds and hundreds of people with every temple who will be around and who will practice Krishna consciousness in their home and who will come to the temple occasionally, but who will be supportive to the temple. Huh?
When?
When the devotees or the prince. I can show you. I have a stack of business cards from people I meet on the airplane, people that have agreed to chant Hare Krishna, have taken books, who are vice presidents of multi-million dollar corporations, who are big executives, who are all different kind of people. All I do is ask them to chant Hare Krishna, and then no one ever asks people to chant Hare Krishna. If you ask people to chant, some people will agree to chant. Every time a Sankirtan devotee meets a favorable person in the airport, there should be a program. Get his name, have it put, and have a person write them a special letter, phone them up, cultivate them, how did he like the book, send another book if they like it, follow it up, just like every other organization in the world that's successful. The Mormons go in South America, the poorest country in South America, they make 100,000 congregational members, 10%. They have to pay to be a member, they have to donate to be a Mormon. And in the poorest third world country, they'll make $4 million a month. Because they simply go and meet the people, and they're concerned that they not only get, that they go to the next step and actually practice Krishna consciousness. Whatever their consciousness is. So we've started this in Latin America, and we're people in the government. Thousands of people. When I went in Peru, there was 500 people, all friends of Krishna, that went to the airport to greet me. They're chanting some 2 rounds, some 8 rounds, some 10 rounds, some 16 rounds. And I know that it can be done in North America also. Just a question of having, one person who's willing to very patiently cultivate those kind of people. It takes sometimes 4 or 5 years. They may never become full devotees, but they'll do some service. In London, they have Friend of Lord Krishna program. They have over 500 or 1,000 members. They let them give whatever they want as a donation. Some give 50 pence, some give £500 a month. Average is maybe 5 or 10 pounds. But it adds up to, enough to support the program, print a quarterly magazine. But it takes a couple of years for developing that kind of it's a whole new area of preaching. The Prabhupada said, I've done half the work, now you have to do the other half. Varnashram preaching. Where's the question of Varnashram? He said Varnashram means the people not in the temple, outside. Where's the question of Varnashram if they don't chant Hare Krishna? Doiva Varnashram begins from chanting Hare Krishna, then you engage them in service. So meet a favorite person who's got the book. Next thing is try to get his name, try to get him to chant Hare Krishna. The PTA, the women there, everyone was given a set of beads, shown how to chant. They chanted rounds. Many people bought beads and kept it. It's like that. You ask the people to chant, if you explain it, some people like to do it. Prabhupada told Chipurari Maharaj that he should give out deities of Krishna at Sankirtan. Tell people to put it on the television set and wave the magic incense wand. Chant Hare Krishna, anything they desire, make their wish to the deity. that this is the deity to answer all their desires. And they should do this daily, and they'll have all their desires satisfied. So we're going to try it in Thailand and South America. El Dios de Deseos. Del Deseo. The God of the desires. Somehow or another, Yenatina Bhattayana Krishna Bhattani Vasita. Get the people to chant Hare Krishna. I know the congregational program in the long run will distribute so many books. You have 1,000 people like that connected to the temple. They distribute 10 books a month, 10,000 books. And everybody they'll give it to will definitely read the book. You got one month to give 10 people books, and they're going to read the book. Just that for North America, it's a whole new concept. But what it'll do is that when these congregations are built up, the devotees will be on a much higher platform. Then people will come into the temple and they'll be looking to the devotees to give them an example, to give them instruction. They'll look at the devotees as brahmanas. They'll see themselves as being kshatriyas or being vaishyas, being supportive to the temple. They'll look to the devotees as preachers and as guidance. Already I know that in Southeast USA, that they don't ever pay, you know, have to pay, stay in any pay for any hotels, and they always stay in the friends of Krishna houses or in some Indians house or something like that. But everybody has to have to be focused. Just one needs one person, the leader, and one person to speak. And then every time it's time, your time devotee meets someone that takes a book and says, "Oh, I like your movement. I got about 5 of these books. I'm really into it. I really like the people, you know." Well, the guy never came to our temple. And he may never come unless, you know, we get his name down, unless we write him a letter. And now in America, to write a letter, you got these computers. You can write everybody a form letter, but it looks the same. I mean, it looks like it's a personalized letter because it's done by a computer. Now in India, we have to type them all out. Here, you don't even have to do that. And if they get that personalized touch, they appreciate it, because everybody in the material world is very lonely. There's no friend. The secretary or the president of Bolivia is chanting 4 rounds of Hare Krishna, friend of Krishna. That, every time I go into Bolivia, I don't go through customs or immigration. They take me right, drive me right up to the VIP lounge, baggage door. Once I was greeted by the minister of industrial, once by the television. And when I leave, I don't also go through any frisk, right? They take me right up to the plane and I go in. And when I'm in the temple, then usually there's one period from 2 to 4 in the afternoon when everyone's thrown out, and then the big government officials come and they ask me about law of karma and different questions. Because we had one man in the government that was a friendly Krishna, he chants 8 rounds a day, he's a vegetarian. Trying to get him up to 16, but he's a tough nut. And he's got everybody else into it.
And is he a native of that country, or is he an Indian?
No, native. There's no Indians in that country. I haven't met an Indian. I think there's only 12 Indians in Peru, and I never met one.
How are they preaching to the government? How are they actually getting... that close to somebody.
One man was interested, and he came around the temple, and then he brings all his friends, because they have an open thing. Amigos de Krishna, friend of Krishna. Then everybody... You know, so then it's very... Anyone that's a little interested, you immediately sign him up. He's a friend of Krishna. He's a member of the congregation. Then you, when they come up a little higher, then they become a league of devotees. Mm-hmm. And after that, the initiation. I initiated two professors so far of universities that are chanting 16 rounds and they're following everything. Because it took them a couple of years to get around to it. They're wonderful, you know, in their service, and they give money and they preach outside.
They're just, you know, they're just too old and too, you know, to move into the temple, the brahmacharis, you know, brahmacharis, just, you know, it's pretty tough. At least, I mean, we don't have this, in America, probably make nice facilities, but there we don't have it. So.